Asanya Musaka on 702. 702 for the curious.
Well, it's now 7 minutes past two, and earlier on, I was referring to this very interesting conversation I'm looking forward to about biohacking. Gave you a little bit of a description, and I got a reaction from Kabelo. He says, I was watching a series called Scorpion, and when I heard of biohacking, did a little research, and it's actually mind-blowing. Can you imagine having access to the internet with your body? He says, so that's just from his own experience triggered by watching this particular show. And I just wondered about the size of the community in South Africa or across the continent. In fact, people who have done this DIY biological enhancement. And we've got Bronwyn Williams in studio with us, a trend translator at Flux Trends, to guide us through what is a trend that they are observing. So what is biohacking or this DIY biological enhancement? It's actually gaining popularity around the world. Biohackers use technology to modify their own bodies for aesthetic and for functional reasons. So that's what they do. How is the question? Hello, Bronwyn. How are you?
Hello. Good afternoon.
We're already like living in the future that we weren't ready for. Do you know what I mean? It's like we thought it would be 50 years from now, but this changes have accelerated. They've at an unprecedented rate.
Yes. It's like we're living in an episode of Black Mirror the time.
Yeah, exactly. New things. So what is biohacking? Is that too much? Is it not too much of a simplistic explanation of it?
That's just the start of it. So there's really two wings of biohacking that we've identified. The one would be biopunks, which is basically trying to modify your body using technology as well as biology. So in essence, turning yourself into a cyborg of sorts. And the other side of that is more coming to it from the point of epigenetics.
Okay.
That is activating and deactivating your genes. Because although you can't change your genes, you're born with them. You can change the way they work slightly using external environmental factors. So the biohackers on that side of the movement do things like tracking themselves using quantified life devices like wearables that can monitor your heart rate, how many steps you take, for example. And then they try and monitor those changes to how they are working with or eating or using their own bodies over time to see in a quite a scientific way what changes they make to their diets or to the environment, to their lifestyle, how that then affects their bodies.
So these are people with wearables.
Yeah, so they'd be either wearables, they'd just be recording in a diary. That could also work. So the very simple ways to do that.
I never thought that they are biohackers. I always thought it has to go below the skin.
They consider themselves to be biohackers. And if you speak to them, they'll actually be quite offended if you include the cyborgs in their tribes.
Apart from we've got the biopunks, and I think we all have a sense of that. We've seen people with these implants. Recently, it was Christy Teigen and Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
And who worked with, what is his name? A Human, a designer. And they had these, what looked like implants underneath her, on Christy Teigen, looked like wings on her chest. And Kim Kardashian had what looked like a necklace around her neck, which went on, that had lights. Which glowed on and off.
That's that aesthetic, absolutely. So that's the aesthetic side. That's not really functional at all, but that's just modifying yourself and reacting against the times, just like the punks did in the 80s and 90s, and just for any sort of body modification. So that's more of a statement, a public aesthetic statement. But the more exciting side is when you get into that whole cyborg element where people are really hacking their bodies and using technology to really enhance what their bodies are capable of.
Is that where the grinders come in?
Yeah, so grinders are a subsect of the biopunk movement, and the grinders have actually cut into their bodies or surgically attached devices to themselves. So simple ones of that would be things like microchips, people that voluntarily implant microchips into themselves. Like there was a guy in Australia who implanted his subway card into his hand, so he didn't have to take it out of his pocket. So that would be an example of a grinder. So some of them are quite silly. You've even got guys that are putting magnets into their fingertips. Yeah. Apparently this is quite popular, but don't do it because people that have done it say it's very irritating. Because if you can imagine,
touching everything that
metal sticks to you, they get sick of that quite quickly. But that's quite a common hack because if you can put things into your hands quite easily, your skin's quite shallow there. But some of them get quite complicated. There's there's one professor, I think he's in the UK, and he's implanted a device into his own body and into the body of his wife, so that if someone touches his wife's hand, he can feel it. So
yeah.
That's a bit creepy in a very patriarchal sort of way. But it just shows what people can do if they apply their
minds. And his senses can feel what her senses are feeling. The way touch would feel to me is what he would feel as well.
Yeah,
so and vice versa with her too, if he gets touched as
I'm not sure. On the articles I've read, I'm not sure if she has the
reciprocal.
Privilege too.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what his motivations were for doing that.
Uh-huh.
But we'll leave that up to him.
Because some time back, I came across the story of Neil Harbison.
Yes.
He's quite an interesting character because he's inserted what looks like antenna implants. So he looks like an insect.
Yes, like a bug.
Like a little bug, with
the
little antenna. Yes, and it's got a little lighter at the end. But he considers himself to be a cyborg artist, a trans species activist, which then begs the question about the difference between all of these. Like, what's a cyborg? What is trans species? What is biohacking and so on? But he's really been involved, and this has been going on for a while. I see his transplant took place, in 2004?
Yes, absolutely. And that gentleman who's implanted the device in his and his wife's hands, he did that in the early 90s, I think.
Wow.
So they've been doing this for a long time. The whole thing with the movement of biohacking is really just that people are experimenting with these technologies and biology and all these different things on themselves. So you can really do anything you like in a completely unregulated environment.
No, I think I was quite concerned with the DIY part of it. What exactly do you mean DIY yourself?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. That's where the part hacking comes into the word. So it's very much you do it yourself. If you're on the genetic side of things, you're tracking how caffeine affects your body, how taking extra steps change your sleeping patterns, for example. So you're conducting experiments on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
On the biopunk and grinder side of things, you're literally implanting these devices into yourself. Now, in Sweden, there's a whole subculture that's built up around that whole biopunk aesthetic, whereby they have essentially innovation labs, very much like what we'd have here in South Africa, but really dedicated to the biopunk movement. So there'll be people in those labs that have a bit of knowledge in genetics, some people that have knowledge in robotics, some people that have just really taught themselves about computers, and they all get together and experiment on themselves in a very sort of informal but very, at the same time, formal environment because they're working with high-tech lab equipment.
I would think you need an anesthetist, you need a surgeon, you need like these specialized medical skills to be, and of course the scientists and innovators in the room as well, to insert this kind of implant into someone.
Yeah, it's very scary, but the point is that this whole movement is about the democratization of technology and giving people control over their own bodies. So that also comes back to the punk side of the word,
yeah,
in that the punks were all about, you know, the man must leave me alone and I want control of my own body, my own human destiny, and I want to be able to have control over all this technology that's going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of coming back to that Black Mirror analogy, in Black Mirror, a lot of the tech is sort of forced onto people from controlling corporations
some
or
authority
governments.
That and this, rules over society.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is about sort of turning that on its head. So the activists and the trans species activists and all the rest of them, they're really about people should have control over themselves and they should have access to all of this sort of technology and to apply it the way they want so they can evolve themselves into the being that they want to be.
Yeah, so the modifications should be what I want.
Yeah.
If I want to be able to, someone said, what did Gabriel say about that? Having access to the internet within your body.
Yes.
So because we deal with content so much, if I want to be plugged into the internet, that's a modification I can have.
Exactly.
If you want something else, that's a modification you can have. Wow. So we'll all walk around looking.
Well, being superhumans in essence.
All sorts of different superhumans.
Yeah, different, with different superpowers. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the ethics around this issue? Because so often with technological advancements, we are behind, you know, a couple of steps behind certain ethical, regulatory, policy considerations that we need to have. When you talk about what's happening in Sweden, I know, as you said, they're backing these trials quite a lot. There are organizations that give their employees an option to have their access into the building implanted into them. So where does that leave, say, a question of privacy? Yes, maybe the chip has certain limitations. It's not like telling me that you're wherever at a strip club or at a bar. It's just about in and out, that access to the building. But ultimately, there are lots of the implications.
Yes, absolutely. They definitely are. But this movement really is a reaction against that. The fact that there are no ethical standards. The fact that people in labs can be designing engineered designer babies, for example.
Yes.
And they're saying, well, why should that technology be left to a lab, to a corporation, to a big government? Why should we not be able to adapt ourselves? So that's all about reclaiming all the power of technology for the individual. So the individual has control over their own destiny. But at the same time, there are still ethical implications there too. You mentioned the microchips.
Yeah.
So you might do a microchip because you think you're being empowered and you want to put your subway card into your hand so you can get to work faster than everyone else. But those chips can be hacked. And if you start getting to the point where maybe you want to start biohacking on your children who are a minor, for example, should you be allowed to do that? Surely an adult should be able to put whatever silly or impressive enhancements they want into themselves, just like we're able to dye our hair or get tattoos. We should be able to make those choices,
yes,
for better or for worse.
Can debate it all day.
Yeah, but what about what happens when you get to minors, for example, or when those sort of body hacks get hacked by someone else?
Right.
Because a lot of
right.
this technology can be hacked, especially on the biopunk side of things.
What does that mean for the future and the world that we would be living in?
Well, I don't think it's going to go away. I think these movements are only going to grow in prominence, especially on the epigenetic side, and sort of more sort of experimenting with how environmental factors affect your body.
Mm-hmm.
We really have seen the whole health and wellness and the whole quantified self movements really growing in leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely going to become something that's much more a part of our lives. And there's not too many ethical issues there as long as you're doing that for yourself. The ethical issues start creeping in when big companies like big insurers start forcing you to wear wearables and forcing you to modify your behavior in order to improve your health so they don't have to pay out so much on your medical insurance claims, for example.
Right.
So then there's issues of control. So when it's opt-in, it's a lot more exciting, a lot more fun.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as these things stop becoming optional and start becoming something you have to
mandatory.
Do, it becomes a lot more scary.
Yeah, that's where we could likely reject it. I think of how dedicated some people are, of course, to vitality points. So one day Discovery could say, you know what, this is how we measure your vitality. You know, you're working out, you're going into the gym, or and you can opt in. I mean, it's possible because they already have that data anyway. And that's the kind of data, or what this movement kind of rejects, with having the data in the hands of corporations or in the hands of governments. But the chances are that's where we're going to go. This kind of maybe removes our resistance to the idea. And then when big corporations come around, they say, we will organize it for you. We're likely then to sign up, because these ideas have been presented to us gradually through movies, through all sorts of other content, so that when it does eventually happen, we're open to it.
Exactly. So the tech ethicists are really debating the difference between opt-in rewards-based programs, like you mentioned, vitality. So that's great. If you behave nicely, we'll give you treats.
Yeah.
But that's just a very thin line away from being a punitive-based system, where if you don't opt in, you get punished. And that's a whole different level, a whole different thing going on there.
Right. The lines are open to you, 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. I would be so fascinated to hear from biohackers from South Africa. Really? Maybe you belong to one of the tribes that is within the sub-tribes within biohacking. Which one would you be? And do you like this view? Do you like this kind of future where people would be able to modify themselves in any way that they want, incorporating technology into the human body? What does the prospect of that sound like to you? Do you like it? Because ultimately, this would have to do with our own choices. It's not going to be in the hands of a certain group, and it's a movement that is growing. Do you like that particular idea? Laws will have to change, as it's been forced to change due to the activism and role of people like this Neil Harbison, who has a cyborg foundation, and he's actually fighting for the rights of cyborgs, which he considers himself to be one because of this antenna that he's put inside his head. So it's 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. As we chat this afternoon about one of the latest trends with Flux Trends, that's Bronwyn Williams joining us, and she's a trends translator. On the WhatsApp line, line, one says, no, biohackers self-test, self-medicate using self-research or experiments to treat disease or improve health. I think you're saying you are all for it because you're not waiting for clinical trials. Why wait when you can do all of these tests and draw insights about your own body when technology allows you? So we'll take your calls on 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs.
702. Asanya is on Twitter at @Asanya_.
24 minutes past two. Do you believe that people should have access to biohacking technology so that in future, the intelligent designer of individuals and the human race in general is left to the individual and not left to big corporations and governments? And is there a movement here? Bronwyn, I'm really curious about that. Do we have biohackers here?
I'm not entirely certain if we've got any cyborg biohackers, but then again, they don't tend to be too much of a organized movement. It's definitely very an individual pursuit. So I'm sure they are out there, but I can't honestly say that I've met too many of them.
Yeah.
But on the epigenetic side, yes, there's quite a big movement for people trying to biohack their health, trying to improve their health and their vitality. I think the movement of having things like insurance companies that incentivize good living is encouraging people to quantify their movements, to record how many steps they take and how their body feels if they cut out sugar or cut out coffee. And we've seen that a lot through the other health movements, of things like Meat Free Mondays, for example, to see how that changes your biology. Do you lose weight if you start doing that or do you not? And as you start recording that data, you can start to make quite intelligent decisions on how then to improve your health using that.
Yes, absolutely. So we've got certain pioneers in the space. Is there a growing adoption of this?
Yes, I think there really is. I think as technological knowledge becomes more widely available, thanks to the internet and to the fact that we've got things like YouTube, you can see tutorials on how to put like a grinder tracker into your hand. My. Don't Google it if you've got a weak stomach. They look quite awful when you see what some people have done, how they've cut themselves open to insert these tracking devices, which look very futuristic, but also terribly painful. But it's definitely growing, and we're starting to see movements popping up all over the place. And it's not just in the sort of the punk movements and the anarchists and the anti-establishment crowd that's going for it. We're also seeing artists starting to embrace the whole cyborg aesthetic as a means of expression. So you mentioned A Human and their whole installation. Those weren't real biohacks, but they were a sort of an aesthetic projection of what biohacks could become and how aesthetics or human aesthetics and human body modifications can move away from just things like earrings into fully functional devices that can glow along with your heartbeat, for example. Yeah. I saw one of those examples in London a while back. There's a company trying to sell it. They didn't have too many customers, but they had a long line of people very curious about how the whole system worked.
Yeah.
And then there's an artist from the Catalan region in Spain. Her name is Moon Ribas, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And she implanted a device on her hand that allows her body to monitor every time an earthquake happens anywhere in the world. So it'll vibrate more if it's a larger earthquake, like what happened in Indonesia recently, or less if it's a smaller quake. And she uses this as a performance art expression. So she does performance art. She does like a kind of a movement type thing on stage in front of her audience. And then when she feels the vibration, she incorporates that into her dance and movement. So people are doing very strange things for very different reasons.
Yes, different motivations. So varied.
What ties us all together is that it is an individual choice. People are taking control of their own health, the way their body looks, the way their body works, and they're kind of choosing their own superpowers.
After that hoo-ha with Elon Musk, well, people were saying that he smoked dacha during that particular interview. I went and listened to that podcast. It is 2 hours long, so you would have to brace yourself. And they go in all sorts of directions. It was interesting. The Joe Rogan Experience is the name of the podcast. And so he offered Elon Musk a smoke of weed. And he's very interesting in his views and his thoughts about artificial intelligence. And one of the things that I guess has been preoccupying him, apart from the lie that he told about the business, is that he thinks that in the future, human beings will get computer chips implanted into their brains so that we can compete with AI. And in there, of course, he talks about his concerns about artificial intelligence and what it means for us and our human brain, the capabilities of our human brain versus how fast and how quick AI will be able to learn and transform. So that possibility? What's he doing in this space?
Yeah, he's invested in a company called Neuralink. Mm-hmm. So they're doing exactly that. They're exploring brain chips so you can upgrade your own brain as though it was a computer, just by getting a chip upgrade every time technology advances away from you.
Yeah.
But he's really not the only one looking into that. Then when we start talking about things like brain chips and brain neural interfaces,
you're
moving a bit away from sort of biohacking, which is very DIY, and this is much more of a difficult type of technology. You need institutional know-how behind you. Maybe biohackers can figure out a way to do it themselves. Maybe some of them already are. But Neuralink is very much about more of a mainstream corporate type product.
Okay.
Here in South Africa, over at WITS, they're working on the Brain Internet Project, which I keep talking about, but it's so fascinating. But they are working on a way to basically connect humans directly to the internet using brain neural interfaces. And they're hoping to get to the point, which they believe could happen within the next 10 or so years, whereby you're actually going to be able to take one of your thoughts, put it up into the cloud, and then use your thoughts to control another human being. So in other words, inception, the real inception.
Wow.
So these Japanese researchers that have already been able to sort of translate a text message from one person's thought into another person's thought. So the guy thought something, he was connected up to a contraption that linked his brainwaves to the computer. The computer decoded that thought into text and then implanted that text message into the other subject's brain. So the other subject was able to read that thought. So that's quite fascinating. And because of technology like that, that is why people like Elon Musk, who know what's going on a lot better than you or I do, are investing in ways to do exactly that.
Thank you for freaking us out. Thank you very much for coming through this afternoon. That is just a mind, you know what. So that was Bronwyn Williams, a translator at Flux Trends, just looking at biohacking. You're going to see more and more and more of it.